this, but my sister had got invited to church, and she went, and the pastor, after the service, met her at the door and told her, said, "When you come back next," I said, "Won't you come back next Sunday? And when you come back, bring your daddy with you." And my daddy, he didn't really care much for preachers, and he didn't like churches. He just kind of had that attitude about it and taught us the same way. And so she come and told my daddy that, and I remember he cussed real big. I wouldn't dare repeat what he said, and had some bad remarks to say. But you know, God heard that, and my daddy was a lost man. He was going to hell. Me and daddy done everything together, hunted and fished together, and just whatever he did, I did. And it wasn't long after that, we was working on a race car. We fooled around with old hot rod cars and up under that car. Long story short, it failed. We had on blocks, and we took the dry shaft out and didn't have it scotched. It was our mistake. I was on a creeper on a concrete floor, and if you know that what that is, it's on wheels, but he was on his back on the concrete. And so I saw the tires that was coming over that block that we had it up on. And that car was lowered, and it weighed 2,800 pounds, me in it. And I yelled out, "Daddy, the car's falling." And I pushed myself out from under it. And when I turned around, it had set on my daddy's chest. And I remember looking under there, and it had him pinned. And he was carrying a lot of the weight of that car. And it was squeezing the life out of him. And I remember blood coming out of his nose and out of his mouth. And I started attempted to get it off from him. We had an old floor jack, wouldn't hardly work half the time. And I was having a hard time getting that jack to work. What it was doing, I didn't have the handle. You had to just have it in the right place for it to stay up. And so as I was jacking the handle and using the jack, it would come up. And when I'd quit, it'd set down. So that was keeping him alive. But with me stopping and trying to get it to work, you know, the weight was setting on him. And finally I said to Daddy, I said, "I'm not going to be able to get it off of you, Daddy. I'm going to have to go get Mama." And he said that he thought to himself, "I'll be dead when he gets back." And he said he thought to himself, "Oh boy, you've done it this time." And if I would have went and got Mama, he would have been dead when I got back. But I remembered what that old saint of God taught me. You know, we'd sing in elementary school and in Bible classes, we'd sing, "You can't go to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Shout it out loud and clear. Sing it out far and near. You can't go to heaven without..." And I really didn't understand all that. But she would put that easel and that felt board and tell us some stories, and she'd have Jesus on the cross and just have Pilate and you, it was like you was there, you know. She just knew how to do it, and that come back to me right there on that concrete floor, and I began to make promises to God. You know, if you vow a vow to God, you bet He said defer not to pay it. So You better make good on your promise. See, you may forget about it. How many times we come to the altar, we make all kind of promises. We're in a struggle, we're in a storm of our life, and we just promise God everything, and we're trying to use God, and during that time, kind of like, you know, what they say, a genie in a bottle. You've seen that in old, maybe cartoons, where they rub that side of that lamp, and here comes the genie, and you got two or three wishes. In a time of need, you want to use God like a spare tire, like a crutch. And so, "God, I need you now, so I'm going to promise you everything." And then you make that promise, and maybe even God helps you, you know, and then you go through your life, and you don't make it good on your end. God don't forget. You can go so long, you even forget about it, but I'm telling you, God does not forget. And there on that concrete floor, I said, "God, if in my little simple way, I said, God, if you'll help me and let my daddy live, I'll live for you." And, you know, I struggled around, got the jack working, got the car off of him, and got him to the hospital. And he was recovering in the hospital, and there's a man, his name was Buddy Meeks. He's gone to be with the Lord now. He walked in to witness to my daddy. When he walked in the door, carried such a burden for my daddy. So we ain't got we ain't got power to birth people in the family of God because we don't have a burden. We got a barren womb. I told a pastor on the way up here, I said, churches are dead. I said, the only thing they ain't done is put the dirt on top of us. We already in the grave. And we need a revival. See, they had, some of the greatest men ever born was born from a barren womb. Really not a big problem with that, having a barren womb. The problem is, Brother Harvey, we ain't bothered by it.
Right.
Hannah got bothered by it. Yes, amen. And old buddy walked in, such a burden for my daddy had been praying for him. When he walked in the door, he got so choked up and teared up, he couldn't even talk. You know how you get that big lump in your throat? He couldn't even talk. And he tried to get himself together and went over there to the window in the hospital blinds and looked out. And he just fooled around there a minute and eventually had to leave just crying before my daddy. And when he walked out the door, my daddy said to my mama, I'm in trouble. God got hot on his trail. Amen. Amen. And I remember I was going hunting or something. I come down the stairs. And I had a gun in my hand. I was going to shoot something, you know. And I remember that gray-haired preacher knocking on the door, and I looked at the door and thought, what in the world's going on here? And I seen my daddy answer the door. This is when he got home, out of the hospital. I seen my daddy, when he opened the door, he said, if you wouldn't come when you did, I was going to send for you. They prayed in the living room. My daddy didn't get saved that night, but they started going to church. And it wasn't long, my mama got saved. Mama got saved, and then Daddy got saved. And I was there on a Wednesday night. I started going out of respect to my daddy. I was a punk. I pulled up in that hot rod Mustang, and I'd have my hat on backwards when I pulled up. And, you know, I'd go in, and just out of respect, I love my daddy. And I'd sit through that service. And I remember one Wednesday night, it became the gospel of my salvation. And the man of God he preached, I'm talking about, he preached like he was the only one going to heaven.
Amen.
He didn't leave no wiggle room. And I got under conviction. The Holy Ghost dealt my heart. My wife, she's here tonight. She walked the aisle and got born again.
Amen.
And as a pride of my own heart, I wouldn't follow. I wasn't going to follow. You know, I wasn't going to get saved because she done went first. She wasn't my wife at the time. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he said the ladies got real big ways, shouting, praising God. One of them come and got the flag, Christian flag, marching around church, and he kind of got excited, and he was going to fall in there with them, and the Holy Ghost said, sit down. said, women don't lead. Women don't lead. The Holy Ghost told the pastor to sit down. Let them worship. It's all right. Amen. Amen, but you don't follow. But with me, it was pride. And so I thought, man, if they'll ever shut up, they sung 4 or 5 verses or something. If I can get out of here, I feel like they're putting me on the spot. And I'm about to preach in a minute.
You're running well, preacher.
And I got mad at the preacher. And I got mad at the church, you know. It's never the person's fault. They always get mad. Nobody ever says when they leave the church, hey, I'm just not right with God and I ain't coming back. They'll find something wrong with the pastor. They'll find something wrong with the church and all that. So I got mad. I eventually made it out of that service. And I thought, you know, as a relief, I thought, I will not be back. I felt like they, you know, they rubbed me the wrong way. And I left. And the next night, Thursday night, I visited with Lindsay. And I was on the way home. And usually, you know, I'd been maybe driving fast or had the radio cranked up. And for some reason I had it quiet, radio off. And I'm talking about the Holy Ghost of God coming up 41. And I remember where I was at when I heard him clearly. When I heard his voice. And I was right in front of that little recreation center there on 41A. And God spoke to me. And I done moved out of the house at that time. And I pulled up in a driveway, a little garage we made in an apartment. I was living there. And I fell on my face before God. And I'm going to tell you, I got born again. I got saved. And changed my life for time and eternity. Amen. Amen. Here we are up in, where we at, Greenfield, Indiana. Amen. Preaching the gospel. He's a good God. It wouldn't take nothing. Amen for this old journey that God's put us in. And I appreciate just the simple life that God gives. Amen. Yes. Now, I'm from Tennessee, and so if, you know, if you got a good Ford pickup truck sitting in a driveway and a team of Belgian mules in the barn, and you got a maybe a 1903-83 Springfield leaned up in the corner, and a Walker coon hound on the chain, and a dog box in the truck, I'm talking about in a glass of sweet tea with a lemon floating around in it, and a pretty wife sitting at the table stringing beans, you've got it pretty good. I'm talking about it don't get no better than that. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. And a King James Bible. Amen. I'll tell you, God's been good to me. Well, let's look. I don't keep you too long. Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Let's look in verse number 5. I was talking to the pastor. He said, last time I was up here, I preached on when God wants to sink your ship. I'm glad he told me that. I might have preached it again. You know. No, this is what God put on my heart. This is what God gave me. Even coming up the road here, even pulled over on the way in and let my wife, after we got through the big town there, and let my wife drive in, I wanted to look at it again. Just what's been staring in my heart. So I believe God has a message for us. And we'll let God speak to us and try to help us tonight. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 5. The Bible said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And it goes on to talk about the flood, and it was a worldwide flood, a global flood. You'll say amen to that. It was a storm in the life of Noah. It was a storm during the time of Noah. There is five places in the Bible where you'll find a storm. I'm talking about a literal storm where there was a ship or a boat involved in that storm. And I want to take those five places and from them try to draw a spiritual application that may help us go through the storms of our life. I think that a lot of our churches are going through storms. I think as it concerns our families, sometimes we go through storms. You know, one preacher said, you've heard it often, no doubt, that he said that you're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or about to go into a storm. And I would probably say amen to that. So if we're talking about the storm, we would say that the water or the sea is a picture, or in typology, is a type of the world. It is a type of the struggle of life in the world. In Revelation 21, verse 1, he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Amen. I'm glad there'll be no struggle in living or struggle in life when we get to that new heaven and that new earth. Now, I don't really understand what heaven's going to be like. The Bible don't give us too much description. I know it's going to be wonderful. Amen. Me and my wife was reminiscing coming up here about the old man of God that just passed away and went on to be with the Lord, and I quoted everything that I've heard him say, and we went over everything that he said to us, and we just had a good time rejoicing in the goodness of God, amen, over that good man's life. And I told Lindsay, I said, well, I kind of think that when Brother Allen, when he approached and he's already seen Jesus, amen, I kind of think that when they led him and escorted him to the throne room and there he would see Jesus, that maybe Jesus just looked at him and smiled, amen, kind of, and nodded his head with that nod of approval, amen. You know how when you see somebody and you're firm and you know that they've done right by you, that you just smile and nod at them. We was talking about that. I'm glad there's going to be no more sea, no more struggle of life when we get to that new heaven. And I don't understand that, but I know what earth is like. The Bible said not only is there going to be a new heaven, but there's going to be a new earth. Amen. And when I think of an earth, I think of mountains and meadows and things and rivers. And the Bible said there's going to be a brand new one of them. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad we got a bright future, amen. And if in this life only we had hope in Christ, we'd be of all men most miserable. So if the sea is a picture of the world, then the ship or the boat would be, in typology, would be a picture of our personal life, or it would be a picture of our personal faith. It would be how that we make it through the sea of life on the ship or on the boat. Amen. And then the storm, of course, would be the trials of our life. It would be the disappointments of our life. It would be the sufferings and any distress or any kind of darkness or depression that we have to face as we are in this world. Now, 1 Peter 1:7 said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire, said that it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. He goes on in verse 16, said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So if you're saved by the grace of God, you are not exempt from suffering. Amen. There will be suffering. Now we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be walking in the fullness of God. We need to be saturated and filled with the Scripture and all this we could talk about, and have supplication in our life, have soul winning, amen, as a part of our life. But you also need to be willing to endure suffering. And suffering will come. Storms will come. And we need to be prepared for the storm. And a lot of times that storm, it brings darkness. When you talk about depression, a depression is darkness. When you consider darkness, there is no source for darkness. You cannot give me a source for darkness. You can give me a source for light. You can say from the sun we have light. You can say from electricity we have light. If you build a fire, a campfire, from that fire you would have light. But darkness is simply the absence of light. Amen. And a lot of our problem is we don't have the Word of God hid in our heart. When we have to face some storms, and they're self-inflicted storms that we bring on ourselves, and there's no way out of that storm. There's no way to survive that storm, and we continue in darkness because there is no light. And so if light is truth, then darkness is lies. If light is goodness, then darkness is evil. And you get the point. If light is righteousness, then darkness is rebellion. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 23, he said, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. He said, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. You know, a lot of people, they love the darkness. And there is a chance that you get used to living in the darkness. The Bible said this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, hardly anybody that I meet, when I'm witnessing, they don't want to die in their sin. You ask them, do you want to go to hell? They'll say, no, sir. Do you want to burn forever and be in conscious torment throughout eternity? If they got any sense at all, they would say, no, sir. Do you want to die in your sin? No, sir. But you ask a second question, do you want to live in your sin? Yes, sir. So ultimately, it is a decision or choice between the Savior and sin. I understand we preach heaven and hell, Jesus Christ. Amen. He preached more about hell than he did heaven. We all know that. I'm going to tell you up front, and that is part of it. That is part of salvation. When God saves us, he saves us from the penalty of sin. That means we don't have to go to hell. I understand that. But up front, it is a choice between the Savior or your sin. Ain't that right? There is a love for the darkness, but there is a call out of the darkness. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, amen, who should show forth praise unto him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Where would you be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, amen? On Highway 41, God intervened in my life. That's, I didn't invite him. He don't have to be invited. He's God. He said to the church of Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. It will be that God gives you an invitation. And I want to tell you, God will always say, come now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He never says, come later. That's what the devil said. He never says, put it off. That's what Satan said. God says, come now. Amen. And when he comes, amen, he'll speak to you in a still small voice. When he spoke to Elijah and Elijah up under the juniper tree, amen, God wasn't in the earthquake and God wasn't in the wind, amen, and God was not in the fire, but in a still small voice. And your testimony may not match mine. My life, hers don't match mine. Amen. We get caught up in this thing of, you know, and I understand it's right. God, listen, God will initiate it. He said, no man come to me, John 6:44, no man come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. I raise him up at the last day. Titus 2:11 said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and the same grace, amen, that saved me is the grace that teaches me that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, they might redeem us and purify unto himself and peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. He said in John 12:32, he said, and if I have thee lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And my wife heard the gospel, and she heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And on that Wednesday night, that she heard that on Sunday. And on Wednesday, she was digging around in the closet, her mother's closet, looking for a dress. Her mama, a lost lady at the time, she said, what in the world are you doing? She said, I'm looking for a dress. Why in the world do you want a dress? And she said, I'm going to get saved tonight. Amen. And she just sat and listened to the preacher. And when he got finished, she was waiting on the right time and the invitation. She just marched up there and got born again. Amen. 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 God already been working on her. But she'd made up. And you know, the Bible says that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who he was. And when he got, if you seek for him and search for him with all of your heart, you're going to find him every time. Amen. I believe that. And that, you know, as my wife won her, she had a part in winning her parents to the Lord. She won her daddy and she won her brother to the Lord. I remember being asleep. We was sleeping upstairs. We have upstairs in our house. We was sleeping up there. We were afraid the house catch on fire and we couldn't get the kids down. And you know, so we slept up there for a time. And I remember her getting up in the wee hours of the night. I'm guessing it was 3 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock.
And that when I woke up, she was weeping uncontrollably, and she is marching down the stairs, and I heard her get on the phone, and I was listening, and she is calling her brother. Her brother was a sinner, and he wasn't saved. He was lost. And she got on the phone. He answered the phone, and just the first thing she said, I believe, if I remember right, she said, "Brandon, I don't want you to die and go to hell. Please don't die and go to hell. Brandon, you're going to die and go to hell." She was saying, he was saying, "It's okay, Lindsay, just go back to bed. It's okay." And I'll tell you, he never got over it. Amen. Later, he got saved. He got born again. And I tell you what he does. He's a member of our church, and he teaches, does a good job, teaches teenager class. Amen. Faithful.
Amen.
Got under a burden. So why can't we get them in? We don't have no burden. We don't have a burden. There's no power to bring for them to be brought forth. And God help us, we need revival. And so there's a call out of darkness to deliver us from darkness. Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now looking at these storms here, I want to say there's four types of storms. We're talking spiritual things that we have to face, battles. I want to say there is the natural storm. It comes upon everybody, and it's going to come upon us. Everybody else has to bury loved ones. We're going to have to bury loved ones. Everybody else, you know, other people get diagnosed with diseases. We're going to have one day face it. You might as well forget about this Superman attitude. You think everybody else, you know, tragedy comes to them and their family. Everybody else gets, other people, they have to deal with the cancer. They have to deal with the things in the hospital and all that. And that's for everybody else. Never, it's going to happen to you. I know young people sometime, I know I got in that way of thinking. That happens to other people, and it's never going to happen to me. As it happens to others, it will happen to you. One day the phone's going to ring, and it's going to be bad news on the other end. And the news that you hear from that phone conversation is going to change your life forever.
Yes.
One day the doctor's going to walk in with his little clipboard, and he's going to look over top of his glasses like he's looked at others, and he's going to diagnose you. Just long enough, it's going to happen. It's a natural storm. It's a natural storm. It wasn't that God sent it. It wasn't that it's a satanic attack. It wasn't, hey, you can't blame anybody or anything. It's just something. You know, when Adam fell, the Bible said, "Wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin, and sin entered the world." And you know, Lucifer is the author of sin, but sin could not come into the world unless Adam allowed it to come in. Adam had dominion, and of course we know he forfeited that dominion when he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was a tree that got us into trouble, but I'm glad it's a tree that got us out, amen. Who his own self brought our sins in his own body on the tree, amen. We've been dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness. But now Satan is the god of this world. We don't have dominion. We mine underground, get the coal, but cannot replenish the coal.
Right. Right.
Amen. Through all the technology and what we have through the natural gas and able to get that, we cannot replenish that.
Right.
We don't have dominion.
No.
But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Right. In whom the God, little g, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil.
Yeah.
He's the god of this world. He's the prince of power of the air.
Right.
Whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine in them. And it might just shine tonight. Amen. You can't ever tell. It might shine tonight. I remember when God cut the light on, you're not going to understand until God cuts the light on. There's a lady in the church, she sits at second pew on this side. And her mother was a faithful saint of God. Her mother was Miss Shirley. Her daughter now that's still living, Miss Sharon. And Miss Shirley had a ministry of praying for preachers. And I'm glad I was on her prayer list. Amen. She's gone home to be with the Lord. But Sister Sharon was raised in church and heard so much preaching. And she couldn't understand why it never touched her heart. But she said one night, amen, sitting over here on the piano side over here. She said, sitting with a pastor's wife. Her testimony tells it the same every time. She said, the man of God preached and it became the gospel of my salvation. In whom you also believe after you heard the word of truth.
Amen.
He talks about it as the gospel of your salvation.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to say, if you're going to get saved, you have to respond to truth. They say they're preaching over there and a lot of folks getting saved. That's why they can't be getting saved. There ain't no way they can be getting saved. It's false teaching. Amen. It's going to be a response. You're getting quiet on me. It's going to be in response to truth. Amen. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, not false teaching, not some non-inspired book, not from false doctrine, but from truth.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to add works to salvation in your preaching and convince that person that it is that way, and that person walk the aisle and get saved based on that.
Amen.
Amen. Coming with those works, coming, amen, trying to, present their works to obtain salvation, or trying to present their works to maintain salvation. He wrote to the book of Romans to those that were trying to obtain salvation by works and rebuked them. He wrote the book of Galatians to those that were trying to maintain salvation by works and rebuked them. Amen. Whosoever you're justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. One fellow that believed that you could lose your salvation, he said, "Well, look here. He said, you can fall from grace." I said, "That's what you've done. Your doctrine, that's what you've done. Not from the, amen, not from the salvation, but the teaching of it. You did run well, but who did hinder you? They should not obey the truth. They fell from the doctrine of it." Amen. Trying to add works. Anybody believes you can lose your salvation, that's what you've done. You fell from grace.
Right.
Amen. You might be just as saved as the Apostle Paul, but you've fallen from grace. The truth. You've fallen from truth. Amen. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? You're gonna get to heaven and say that you got there by your own deeds. You're gonna get there and try to share the glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. When is boasting then? He's excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. So they come believing in works, trusting in works, and God don't save on those terms. Amen. God don't save on those terms. Comes the gospel of your salvation. Well, there's a natural storm. I got to hurry. There's God-sent storms. So there's a natural storms in your life. There's God-sent storms. Sometimes God has sent storms. Then there's Satan-sent storms. So I don't know if God has control over, the weather. How in the world are you going to make a comparison there? Well, we'll try our best. Then there's self-inflicted storms. So let's look at them real quickly. I read to you from Genesis chapter number 6, and I read about Noah. I read about Noah, and he went through a storm. Now, I do know that this was God sent. God was going to destroy. God was going to bring His wrath and His judgment upon the world. But I want to go a little further and say it was also a natural storm in the sense that everybody was going to go through this storm. And Noah went through the storm like everybody else. Noah was not exempt from the storm. Do you realize that Noah went through the same storm? Amen?
Yeah.
He went through the storm.
Yeah.
The difference was that Noah was in the ark. Amen?
Right.
The Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? And so he found grace in verse number 8. And then he was given a word. The Bible said in verse 13, you look at your Bible, it said, "And God said unto Noah." So God gave Noah a word. And he gave him a blueprint. He gave him a plan to build the ark.
And I'm thankful that before God poured out His judgment and His wrath on the earth, He first gave a plan to build the ark. Before He poured out His judgment, He gave 120 years of grace for Noah to prepare an ark for the saving of his house. And we could go back and say, well, as Enoch was raptured before the flood, and as Elijah was raptured before the fall of Israel, I'm glad the church is checking out of here, amen, before Daniel 70th week. And so, as we look at this storm that was going to come upon all the world, we see the difference was that Noah was in Christ. He was in the ark. The ark is a picture of Christ. The Bible said it was pitched within and without with pitch. Amen. Even the outside. I appreciate what the dead one, is it Kentucky where they have the ark?
Yes.
And it's beautiful. That's how I would have built it too. I mean, done a good job. But it didn't look like that. Maybe the shape, maybe the size, they probably done, but it would not have been that beautiful. It had pitch on the outside too.
Right.
Amen. I wouldn't have covered that beautiful wood either if I was trying to make an amusement park, but it had pitch on the outside. And the Bible said it had no beauty that we should desire Him. Amen. He was like a root pulled out of a dry ground. And so Noah was on the inside. Do you realize that God would not allow Noah to put a window in the side of the ark? If he'd have put a window in the side of the ark, oh, Mr. Noah and Miss Noah would have been constantly standing at that window looking at how bad it is. That's what I do when I watch Fox News. Amen. And just constantly looking how bad, keeping up with that. I understand we got to keep up with enough of it so we know how to vote. Amen. But I don't know if that's the right source even there. Amen. I might watch Tucker Carlson or something. But when you get off from there, you're probably getting in large trouble. Amen. Somebody say amen. And so we're getting so focused on the bad, church. We're so zoomed in on everything that's going wrong, and I believe we're to keep up with it. I think we're to have an active part as Christian. I think we're to vote, amen. Amen. It might not be the perfect person, but I'm telling you, if it's a step in the right direction, I'm going to cast my vote for that. I mean, we might not win the war in one election, but I'm going to try to win the battle that's at hand. Amen. And so that's my opinion about that. But I find myself looking at, you know, watching Fox News and looking at Gateway Pundit and everything else, and for you know it, I'm pulled down and I'm spiritually drained. And the Bible tells me to think on things that are good and things that are lovely. And we get so focused on the bad, looking out, that God did not let Him put a side wind in. The wind in the top, looking up. Amen. We have not lost our hope, have we? The blessed hope. Amen. It's the blessed hope. We still believe that hope. Amen. I'm glad we're checking out. And then I was talking to Brother Cooley yesterday, was talking about it. I don't know how you see Revelation chapter 6, but it is talking about, I believe it's talking about the first 3.5 years. And I can't understand that heaven folding up as a scroll, but I know chapter 7 says after this.
Yeah.
It might be more chronological in order than we give it credit. Why does it say after this?
Yeah. Right.
Amen. You know what he said? And the end of that chapter, he called it the wrath of the Lamb.
Yeah. Right.
And in the last verses of Revelation 15 and the first verse of Revelation 16, that's the last 3.5 years. You know what he called that? Wrath of God.
Yeah.
Amen. He called both sides the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, said God not appointed us to wrath.
Amen.
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 In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, if we can give honor to the old preacher, he said, them two verses clearly teach. How many times have we heard that? I don't stay with it, amen.
Amen.
I don't stay with it.
Yes, brother. Amen.
How many times have you heard it, Brother Cooley? We come up under it. Them two verses clearly teach. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Them two verses clearly teach. We're not going to go through 1 second of Daniel 70th week. Amen. I'm staying with it, amen. That's what I've been told, amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, we can make it through the natural storm. So they may come. The disease may come in your family, may come upon your body. Take your health, take your ability. The tragedy may come your way, but if you're in the ark, you can make it through it.
Amen.
How in the world did you make it through it, Brother Harvey? You was in the ark.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And so Amram, Jochebed, they was going to have to put their boy in the same river. Everybody else putting their boy. That was the command. There's no way out of it. It's going in there. And I got my kids going off in the same world. And I got two that's coming up in the same world. But if I could build an ark, they build an ark of bulrush. If I can put them in the ark first, amen. If while I got them, God help us, parents. I'm telling you, a lot of parents are giving in. A lot of churches are giving in. They're giving in. And there's some things you give up when you give in. You give up your children. You give up your testimony. You give up your power with God when you give in. They compromise. And, amen. Compromise. They say it's maturity and we're maturing and we got to adapt. You know, in the generation that we live, I want to tell you, that ain't how Grandpa saw it. That ain't how Grandma saw it. They stayed with God and they stayed with this Bible. It is an up-to-date book, amen. And the way they want it to raise their children is the way we're going to read it to raise ours. Amen. The dress code is still the same. What? The dress code is still the same. And they're gonna fill out a place in society, and they're going this way, and everybody else is doing, and everybody else is dressing this way, and everybody else is wearing those things, and everybody else is going to the prom, and but I'm telling you, we are not everybody else. Amen. Everybody else is dying lost. Everybody else is going to hell. But we have been called out with an ecclesia. And God has separated us and consecrated us unto Himself.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the reason why, you know, this dressing, you know, the leggings, that's underwear. That's not to be wore out on the outside. Amen. You say, get on that. I've been purposing to get on that. Amen. Not to be wore on the outside. That's underwear.
Yes,
right. And it's still right. And
right.
I preach it at my church, preacher.
Yes,
I wasn't preaching nothing here. I don't preach it mine.
Amen.
And it's still right. And it's the way it ought to be is the women ought to dress like women.
Amen.
And the way a woman identifies as woman's in a dress.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And you say, and it's going to get pretty stout here, and you say it's hard preaching, but I'm going to tell you it's probably soft living.
Yes.
We want the power of God. We want God to save our children.
Yes.
Amen. And that power is departed. Amen. The candle has went out. And for these reasons, the candle has went out. The light has went out.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so we got to get back to that old time way.
Amen.
The way that your grandmother lived.
Yeah.
And what caused her? What caused her to be able to come in with joy? You know, the reason I know we do not have joy is because I do not see rejoicing.
Yeah, that's right.
And you cannot rejoice unless there's joy. We ought to cry out like David and say, "Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation." And when he made it that far in saying that, he was already repenting of his wrongdoing. Amen. Have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness. According to thy... I see what I've done wrong. And we need to make some changes. Amen. We need to get rid of some things. We need to get back. Amen. We need to get back to not just 50 years ago. Not just 70 years ago. Get back to the Bible.
Amen.
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 And so... So Noah went through a natural storm. Jonah went through it. It was in Noah's day, it was a storm of protection. It was also a storm of punishment. God was protecting Noah but punishing the world. But in Jonah's day, it was a storm of providence. Amen. And it was a storm of redirection. It was a God-sent storm. You know the story. God had told him to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Amen. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. You think about, as the brother here was talking about it, you think about God in 1943 telling and commanding a Jewish man to go to Berlin and preach the gospel. 1943, he ain't going to want to go. He don't want God to have mercy. Amen. So Jonah, he has those feelings toward the Assyrians, and he went down to Joppa, and he paid the fare on a ship to go to Tarshish, and he went down into that ship, and he went to sleep, and the Bible said, God sent a great wind. God sent, it was chastisement on the life of Noah. The Bible said that God chasteneth every son that he receiveth. If you're not right with God, if you're saved by the grace of God, born again, and you're not right with God, you're not in God's will, there will be chastisement in your life. If you're living in sin and there's no chastisement, you mark it down, you're not saved. And you take this outfit that can come and make a profession of salvation, they hang on for a week or two or a month or two, maybe even a year or two, and then they depart and totally abandon the faith. I'm not talking about getting, you know, sideways with God. I believe that'll make a full circle, or there will be a sin unto death. I'm talking about a man or a woman turning their back on God and walking away without any regret, without any remorse, without any chastisement. You mark it down, they never was saved. Amen. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they would have been with us, they would have no doubt had continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. When the evidence is the true salvation, there'll be chastisement.
Right.
You say, well, why in the world, we as born-again Christians, why do we got to repent? When there's therefore now no condemnation, them then Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him, sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but he has passed from death and life. Now, how are you going to explain to me the reason why I've got to repent when I've already escaped condemnation? Well, we as saved people, we don't repent to escape condemnation. We repent in hopes of escaping chastisement. But if you sin presumptuously, you ain't going to escape. David didn't escape it. David repented and did not escape chastisement. This is a serious thing.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
This is a serious thing. So I was preaching when I first started in Rosalie, Alabama for a preacher. He messed up. I'm talking about God's man. You know how long he lived? 3 months. And I've seen other men mess up and they just continue on. Amen. Not getting right. Just continue on. I just believe it's Bible, don't you?
Yeah. Right.
It's a serious thing to be saved, to be a child of God, and not be where you're supposed to be.
Right.
And I'm telling you, God's not going to let you buy with sin. God is going to train you, and by that, He's going to chastise you. And God was chastising Jonah. They throwed him overboard. God prepared a great fish, and he said he cried out of the belly of hell. Now, I would give you the title, what I preached in my church, but y'all might not be able to take it. But that's what God will make your life. Amen. That's what it'll make your life. One old preacher said, David paid in his family. David paid in his finances. Lost the kingdom, barefooted. Richest man probably on the planet. Next few chapters, he's barefooted, don't have nothing. God let him pay in his finances. He let him pay in his family. The baby died. Absalom overtook the throne. Amnon lusted after his own sister. You know, he's still paying that family. Paying his family, paying his finances, paying his flesh. Y'all ever heard that message? Paid in his flesh.
Yeah.
Psalms 38. Paid with his friends. It ain't just this little you know, I'm going to feel a little guilty and go on with my life. That ain't what the Bible teaches. That ain't how God's going to do it. He said it's grievous. He said it's grievous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I'm afraid. Are y'all afraid? Are you afraid? You afraid to continue in that sin? I mean, we're going to hear the conclusion of the whole matter and fear God and keep His commandment. He's not going to cast me out. He said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. He says I have eternal life now. That's never going to change. Amen. But I know He's my Father and I'm His Son, and He will not let me by with sin. He's not going to let you by either. And the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And God saw it. And can any man hide himself in secret places? God saw what you saw on the computer. God saw it. God saw what you looked at, and what you looked at and saw on the smartphone. God saw it. Amen. When the door's shut and lights off, God sees it. So you better get right with God. And God sent a storm in the life of Jonah. And I got a lot I could preach there. How that he received the guilt, he repented, and he got back in the will of God and all that. But I got to hasten on. In Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to be quick. You follow along. If you'll listen, I'll preach fast. In Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 23, Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the ship, and there was a wind. That's right. And he arose, and when they woke him up, you know what he said? You know what it said? He rebuked the wind. Yes. Oh, you think God's going to rebuke anything He created? You're going to get tight with these preachers. They're going to throw me under the bus. Amen. You think Christ is going to rebuke anything He created? You say, well, Satan don't have any power. You read the book of Job, you might come out different. Amen. Mate,
That's good, brother.
Is that right?
That's good.
So it might be a satanic attack here. I know he rebuked it. But I will tell you spiritually, there will be storms that come in your life sometimes, and it is a satanic attack.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes I don't know how to discern between what's going on. Sometimes I can't figure out, is God chastising me, or is this the opposition? Is this the adversary? I really don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe y'all can help me. I meditated upon that. I thought about that. But I'm going to tell you how you can survive it. There's a man in my church. He's a member of church. He's a song leader. His name's Brother Craig. He was that's what he done for a living. He was on a commercial fishing boat and a crab fisherman on the Pacific Ocean. And I said, for years, Brother Craig, you ever experienced any storms while you was out there? Deep out there, you know. He said, oh, yeah. I said, what's the highest wave you ever experienced? And he said, we call them swells. And he said, I'm guessing about 30 foot. And there's been, you know, reports of 80 and 90 foot. He said, the top of it's called a swell. He said, on the ocean, there's ripples and there's waves and there's swells. Sometimes we go through ripples. Sometimes it's a little more intense. And then it gets to where it's a swell. He said, the top of it's a swell, the bottom of it's called a trough. I said, what in the world's that? He said, it's just a valley in the ocean. He said, all them fishing boats out there, I mean, I was writing it down. He said, all them fishing boats out there, even though we're not working for the same company when a storm comes, he said, we keep an eye on one another.
Right.
Constantly communicating. He said, he's seen them boats go in them troughs, in them valleys. And he said, I couldn't see the light shining. And I thought, man, I know some Christians are saved, and they're in such a storm, and that you can't see the light shining. You better be careful before you pass judgment and criticize, and you think they might not be unspiritual. They might just be in a storm. The light's shining, you just can't see it right now because they're in a storm. The light shining, it's on. You just can't see it because they're in a storm. Amen.
That's good preaching.
Well, if you're going to survive the storm of persecution, There's going to have to be some maintenance beforehand. He said, you don't work on the ship and do the repairs of the ship while the storm and the waves are beating. He said, you got to do that beforehand. And times, listen, young people, times like this, you better soak it all up, amen. You better gather it all in. You better get all you can because the storm's coming. Maintenance beforehand, management during. You got to make the right kind of decisions. Amen. You have some options. If you was out on the ocean and a storm come, you could find a port. You could find a fair haven, a safe haven. If you do a study on that, they tell me that a haven or a safe haven is geographically located. It is a harbor or a port that is surrounded by mountains, and if you can make it to that port, the mountains will help buffer the wind. And if you're in a storm, no matter what kind it is, if you can make it to a fair haven, if you can get in the right kind of church, amen. And you know, mountains in the Bible is a picture of spiritual things. On the mountaintop, we say. And I want to be around. I'm talking about spiritual people. I want to be in a spiritual church. Amen. That's how you will survive the storm. That's how you're going to survive. Elijah, he refused to ride in Ahab's chariot. But the next chapter, he's sitting under a juniper tree. Amen. And he's trying to quit. He said, it's enough. You know how God got him through it? God fed him and all that, but God got him off of the Mount Carmel. That's the mountain of Baal. That was the Mount Carmel's the mountain of Baal. Got him off the mountain of Baal and got him to Mount Horeb. That's the mountain of God. Amen. And so you could find a place. Amen. Sometimes I've come into church. I'm talking about just about to throw in the towel. You know, in a pity party, I done resigned on the way to church to my wife. And all that, y'all ever went through that? And they get in there and they begin to sing. And the brethren get up and begin to exhort. Yes, sir. Amen. It just becomes a fair haven.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not that the storm's over, but I'm just in the mountains and they're buffering the wind.
Amen.
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 Amen. Yeah, I'm just in the service right now. And there's sometimes just in the service, just an hour or two, I get up in the mountains, amen. Just get, and it's just enough time for the mountains to buffer the wind.
Yeah,
you're going to have to face the storm. The waves and the wind is still howling. But I'm telling you, dear, just in that sanctuary, under that preaching, under that singing, is a fair haven. It's a heaven night for the time being.
Amen.
Them services, they'll help pull you through it, amen.
Yeah,
well, then that you can... You can choose a different way. You can just try to face it out on the water. And if you're going to do that, you got to get away from the shore. If you're going to just face the storm, you got to get away from the rocks. You got to get away from the bank or the shore and get out in the middle. And you have to get separated from the world. Because, you know, if you get too close to the world, you'll crash into the rocks. And if you want to make it through the storm, what you need to determine in your heart, hey, I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to be separated. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to talk right. I'm going to witness right. I'm going to do all these things. This what the man of God's been preaching all these years. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to see if it works. I'm just going to do it and see if it works. Do y'all believe in the Bible? Amen. Well, you know, I planted a garden. I planted a garden this year, and we got some worms in our tomatoes. I said, I must owe God some money. Ain't that right? Then one worm got, nothing got in my corn. But there's some got in them tomatoes. And I said, there must be something there, you know. Because he said he would rebuke that canker worm. And he said, prove him. I believe that. I believe that. We'll be Bible believers. Well, here in closing, Matthew 14. So there's the management during... There's the mending afterwards. You got to make right decisions while you're in the storm. Don't run away from church. Amen. Stay in the church.
Amen.
Stay under the man of God. Don't run away. Make right decisions. And really, in a storm, you don't need to move.
Yeah.
Preachers get in a storm and they'll change ministry in a storm.
Yeah.
Because they're depressed and they're discouraged and they're distracted. And they think that that's the way to get out of it. It's just change and go another way. You don't need to make any decisions like that during the storm. There's the mending afterwards. There's going to be damage. Amen. Going to be damage. I've seen preachers just after a storm, spiritual storm, they just have to dust themselves off.
Yeah.
I've seen churches, split and people leave and be a mass exodus. And they come in the next service or two. And then the quietness of that service, they're just trying to regather themselves and trying to patch up the holes. Amen. Trying to fix the ship so that they can go on. Amen. I'm talking about good families left. It always hurts. And things happen and teenagers went bad and they come in, they're broken and hurt over that. And they come in them services after and they're just trying to mend the ship. Amen. Let me say to you that storms come, but storms go. They don't last forever. But I want to close right here with this. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, Jesus is, has his disciples going to the other side, starting in verse 22. And in the middle of the storm, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter stepped out of the boat, walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know Peter could swim. In Matthew 21, he swims. Why is he sinking? Storm's pulling him under. I'm talking about good families, good preachers. He said, "Well, they must not have been all of what they said they was." Yeah, they was. Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were. And one of my heroes, and I ain't mention his name, it's been a long time now since it went bad, but my wife can tell you, we travel long distances. I'd go hear him, all the CDs, and as a young preacher, that's who I listened to, and they messed up. And you know what he said? He said, I just don't really know if there's anything to all that. He said that later. And in my mind, I thought, well, he might not have been what I thought he was, and the Holy Ghost immediately corrected me. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Peter could swim, but the storm was pulling him under. The storm pulls them under. But at the same time the storm's pulling them under, and as the storm was pulling Simon Peter under, when he called out, "Lord, save me," Jesus started pulling him up. Amen. At the same time Jesus was pulling him up and pulling him closer, the storm's pulling him down, but the Savior's pulling him up. And that's what the Lord will do for you. You say, "I'm about to quit. Hey, my feet's almost gone. I'm out of here." There might be somebody on the fence here tonight. And it's a storm pulling you under. You've shouted the victory. I'm talking about you've been full of God. You've been on fire for God, but you're not that right now. It's not that that was not real in your life. You knew it was real. You've been in the holy place and prayed and felt the presence of God. You've been in the service and felt the power of God and the touch of God on your life. And now you're doubting if that was even real or not. Hey, Simon Peter can swim.
Right.
The storm's pulling him under.
Right.
Israel, for you, the storm's what's pulling you under. And all he had to do is say, "Lord, save me." See, you're thinking, "Well, I'll have to when I get home and through the week but where it's going to start is right here. Lord, you're going to have to save me. You're going to have to help me. I'm sinking. I'm almost gone, Lord. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me. I got one more, but the Lord don't want me to go any further than that." Amen. I'll turn it over to you, preacher. All right, let's have a piano player come. Maybe if you'll sing a song. I felt like that's where God wants to get to right there at the end. Is that storm's pulling you and you're trying to fix it in all different kind of ways, and you've neglected to say, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me." You need to come do that tonight. How about starting right there? The Bible said immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Jesus stretched forth his hand. Amen. That's what he'll do for you tonight.
Yes,
We'll sing page 291, and if we still need to sing more after these three verses, they're not long. We'll go right over to 293, take time to be holy, all right?
Just come on and pray. Let's pray. I'll pray with you if you need me to. Preachers and ladies, we can gather around.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of angels born in the song to me. Over the fields of glory, over the jasper sea, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe from corroding care, safe from the world's temptation, sin cannot harm me there. Free from the blight of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me.
Amen.
Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er, wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on His gentle breast, there by His love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest.
I'll say one more thing and I'll be done. I'll get out of the way. You can be seated if you like. When I got saved, for the first little while, I struggled along. I mean, you know how it's new, but then that honeymoon wears out off, and it seems like God carries you there in the beginning, then He sets you down to walk on your own two feet kind of way. You know, understand what I'm saying. And so I got discouraged, you know, went through a period of time of just probably depression, and I decided I was going to quit, and I did. I quit going to church. And I went further than that. I thought that I was going to get back into sin, and I knew where them boys that I run with, I knew where they would be that night. And so I pulled up there, little road they called Vaughn's Cabin Road, and they had a fire built, and they had drank and doing drugs and things. And I jumped out of that truck, and my cousin, he was there. He he run up to me, because I've been in church, been away from that for a period of time. And he said, his name's Aaron, he's lost, y'all can pray for him. But he said to me at the time, he said, "What in the world are you doing here?" And out of my mouth, Brother Harvey, I said, "Well, I'm back." And I want to tell you, honest before God, inside, deep on the inside, there's a voice. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost that was indwelling me and does indwell me. It's like he said, "No, you're not back." And I went over and sat down, and he screamed on the inside. It's like, "Get out of here. You don't belong here. Get out of here. You don't belong here. You don't belong here." And I kind of feel like that maybe somebody's in that situation tonight. God's speaking to you. And God's wanting to deliver you from that. And on the inside, you're saved by the grace of God. You know you're saved. But you're not where you're supposed to be, not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that voice is, he's not going to leave you alone. How in the world can you get away from God? You can't if you're saved. Where are you going to go? If I ascend up to heavens, thou art there. So I tell you what you can do tonight is get that peace. Amen. Restore that joy. And it's going to start at this altar. You crying out, your heart, laying your heart open before God. And say, "God, you know where I'm at. God, you know what I'm doing. And I just want to be honest and bring it before you. And I need you to help me, Lord." You just cry Mayday tonight. I want to tell you, God could help somebody. I feel like God wants to help somebody. But you know, some reason you're in the middle of the pew. And you don't want to move nobody out of the way. Or the pride of life of you coming before everybody. I'm telling you, it ain't worth sitting there and sitting in that condition of your heart. Come find that joy and that happiness tonight. Get back on the trail of God's will for your life. You do it tonight, you'll be glad you did. I'll turn it over to the pastor. God bless you.
I know maybe you don't know that one that well, but sing with me if you know that. On that first, let's sing that last verse. Let's sing that last verse. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm, firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait